You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, Duke fans. DVR Bites, episode number 39. We're coming to you about 20-30 minutes after the Blue Devils got done just destroying, just massacring James Madison. I hope no one died during that because it was a absolute destruction by the Blue Devils. Look, the deal is that I'm Jason Evans. The deal is this: Donald is super busy. He's got some USA soccer stuff happening. US versus Mexico is a big deal game. Donald is immersed in that right now. He wouldn't be able to record with me until really, really late. We wanted to get something out for you guys before tomorrow morning, before Monday morning. By the way, Donald and I will have our full regular recap during the day on Monday. Probably hit your feeds like Monday night, I would guess, something like that, where he and I will do the good and the bad and all the other usual stuff that we do on these games. But we just want to do a quick instant reaction now. And joining me is friend of the podcast. He has been on with us a lot lately, Scott Rich. Scott?
For those, since this isn't a video format, Jason and I are both just beaming right now, which I imagine anyone listening to this podcast is feeling pretty much the same.
Exactly. So in case you didn't hear the final score, the Blue Devils won 93-55 against James Madison. This was a game where every sharp, every, you know, savvy bettor out there was on James Madison like white on rice. They were like, oh, the Dukes are going to make this close. This is going to be very competitive. I had friends sending me emails saying, if you had to design a team in a test tube to defeat Duke, it would be this James Madison club. They get all over the floor. They turn you over. They're really fast and athletic and deep. And, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. And I kept on saying to these people, and I'm being clear here. I kept on saying, I'm like, you know, James Madison was 12 seed. This is not, we're not exactly playing UConn, you know, or Houston, who we're probably going to play next. We're playing a 12 seed who's from a smaller conference. And honestly, there's a reason they were a 12 seed. Scott, I mean, how much fun was that destruction of the Dukes?
Regardless of the shooting, which was fantastic, and the scoring, which was fantastic, and the defensive effort, just the fight that this Duke team brought from the get-go.
Yes.
Will hopefully calm some of the nerves and quiet some of the doubters. I'm going through the play-by-play. Duke had four offensive rebounds before the first TV timeout. Duke had 9 offensive rebounds all Friday against Vermont. This was something from the get-go. Duke was attacking. And that doesn't even mention Flip had 2 steals within the first 3 minutes. Mark Mitchell supplemented that with a steal of his own and a block. All of these effort plays that after the UNC game, in the NC State game, we said Duke's not getting the 50-50 balls. Duke's not making the effort plays. They made them all today. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen next week. If we run into Houston, they're certainly a behemoth. But hopefully this performance puts to bed that narrative that this Duke team doesn't have fire and that John Shire can't motivate this team. Because this was a team that played hard from 40 minutes on the clock to zeros on the clock, period.
100%. Yeah. To me, there were 2 big sort of mental things about this game that I really appreciated. You were right about one of them, and I wanted to highlight when John Shire was interviewed at halftime as he went into the halftime locker room. They asked him a question, you know, what'd you think of that half or something like that? And he must have said, we were playing hard like 8 different times in his answer. Like, that's all he could get out. He's like, we were playing hard. We're playing hard. I couldn't agree more. And that is so important to this team. But the other thing that I saw, and look, it's easy to enjoy yourself when everything you throw up is going in. But the team looked like they were playing with joy. They looked like they were playing together. They looked like they were having fun. And the announcers even pointed out, like Grant Hill pointed out, he's like, this is a team that hasn't looked like it's having fun a lot this year. This today, and God, I hope we continue to get this from this Duke team. They look like they were having fun. They look like the team that was preseason top 3. They look like the team that everyone like was going to be super, super scary on offense and could also play really good defense. It was a joy for us as fans to see them having a good time.
Talk about this team playing together. The numbers back that up. 22 assists on 33 made field goals. That's an impressive number.
I can do that math. That's 66%, 67%.
You don't need my math PhD to do that math, sir. Well done. But no, this is, I 100% agree. This is the team that I think most Duke fans thought they were going to get preseason. And we wrung our hands a little bit, but all that matters is that this team comes out in March. And who the heck knows what's going to happen next week? But all that matters is this team is your team is playing at its optimal capacity when the calendar turns to March. And right now, Duke did that today.
And yeah, I think unquestionably this was our best game of the year. You know, you can look there, you know, look back on the game against Virginia was also very good. There are a couple other games that Duke played down the stretch where you feel like they played really, really well. But I think this was Duke's best game of the year. And Scott, the thing that goes unnoticed, in my opinion, you know, as you're watching the three-pointers rain down, as you're watching Jeremy Roach conduct the offense and get assists in a way we haven't seen him do all season, the thing that gets missed is how well Duke played on defense. By the way, for the second game in a row, Donald and I came on and we talked extensively about the fact that Duke only gave up 47 points to Vermont and that it was like 25 points under Vermont's season average. I haven't looked yet. I'll check by tomorrow when I do the podcast. I haven't looked at what James Mason's season average is, but after holding a team to 47, we held the next team to 55. I got news for you. If you ain't getting to 60, you ain't beating this Duke team. That's for darn well sure. And I was so impressed. We talked about the effort that Duke put in on defense in both of these games was something you have not seen much from them this year.
I'm going to spoil that for you because the stat is that impressive. James Mason averaged 84 points a game this year.
Oh, come on.
We just held them to 55. Here's the other stat. They averaged 16 assists per game, which is 38th in the country. They only had 7 assists today.
This was a
defensive effort that made a team that scores the basketball well, made them work for every last bucket that they earned. And again, you know, John Shire said in all of his press availability leading up to this game that they used that 2-week off, they used that early ACC tournament exit to refocus on defense and saying that defense is what wins games in March. And we won a game on Friday when the offense wasn't humming with a defensive effort that shut down Vermont. We had both happen today, And when the defensive effort matches the offensive effort, and Jared McCain is breaking records, and unless we forget Tyrese Proctor looked like an NBA player again today, which will go under the radar as Jared takes all the headlines. This is the Duke team that was number two in the preseason.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Hey, let's get to the players really quick. And I'm not going to let you talk about McCain first. I want you to go ahead and pick for me the one other guy that you think really turned in a truly impressive performance. It's too easy to say Jared McCain. Look, I know that Jared McCain was throwing the ball in the ocean. I sent a little meme to some friends of mine where I said, this is what the basket looks like to Jared McCain. I had a picture of the ocean. That's what it was like for him today. So put him aside. Who is the guy that you think had the second best game for Duke today?
Well, I mean, it'd be easy to go with Tyrese Proctor because, again, he sort of showed that NBA game again. But to me, Kyle Filipowski, even though his numbers don't pop off the screen as much as his cohorts today, he played aggressive. And again, this looked like the most fun he's had in at least a few weeks. And that's the Kyle Filipowski Duke needs. He was fighting in the paint, fighting for that paint position. He was attacking the rim. He was getting offensive rebounds and putbacks in ways that we really haven't seen in a long time. He was the biggest man on the court, and he played like it. And there's so many times this year where we've been so frustrated by, we have this 7-foot tall guy who's a pretty strong dude, and he's not imposing his will. He imposed his will today. And once Jared started making his shots, and once Tyrese started making his shots, then Kyle took over. And he said, now I have my lane. Now I have my space. Let me take advantage. And again, the numbers don't pop off the screen, but 6-for-8 shooting, pretty darn good. That's pretty darn efficient for a guy who's been high scoring, but perhaps less efficient for most of the year.
All right, so I'm going to say that the guy who played second best was Jeremy Roach, who ends up with 15 points on 5-of-8 field goals. And by the way, his field goals, he had a couple drives to the basket that were just absolutely fearless. And James Mason had no one quick enough to stay with him.
Sure, blow bys.
But the thing I really loved about Jeremy's game today was the assists. He had 6 assists, some gorgeous pocket passes, really conducting the offense in a way I haven't seen from him very much lately. It was Roach taking his game to another level for us because, you know, again, we're used to other guys playing point guard, and Roach was like, nope, today, especially after he messed up his finger, I was like, oh God, are we going to get him back? He ends up leading the team in minutes played with 34 minutes played. He was like, once he came back from that, whatever the finger injury was, he's like, no, I'm staying in. You're not taking me out now. I just thought his game was outstanding. He also played excellent defense. The defense was, as I said, great. And he was one of the key factors in that.
And I thank goodness he's okay. Cause man, did it look like he was in pain on the bench. I guess it looked like it must've just been, you know, dislocation, which you can pop back in, but thank goodness he got back out there. Cause man, did he look like he was in pain. We'd also be remiss if we didn't mention, thank goodness it looks like Jalen Blakes is okay. The fact that he was able to get back to the bench, who knows, you know, what tomorrow will bring, but that's always a good sign that he got back to the bench. And it was such a shame because he was, again, putting in another very solid Jalen Blakes performance. Yep. He was much smarter offensively today than I thought he was on Friday. The shots that he took were shots that he has to take. And again, when he's on defense, he is a difference maker. You know when Jalen Blakes is on the court defensively. And in March, you only need 5 to 8 minutes from him in the first half for this team to be okay. For all of the anxiety about Duke's depth, we forget the Duke's last two national championship teams were notoriously shallow. The 2010 team, Andre Dawkins was the guy who was spelling Shire, Singler, and Smith for 5 to 10 minutes a game. Maybe.
Yeah, he'd come to school a year early. Yeah, he was not prepared. Yeah.
In 2015, again, that was the famous 8 is enough. We only really had 8 bodies. And thank goodness one of them was Grayson Allen. That was a pretty nice luxury that we had. Yeah. But again, that was a team that wasn't especially deep. And again, Jalen Blake's, all he needs to do is give us 5-10 minutes of solid play with that one or two, you know, impact defensive plays. He did that today, and all you could see his eyes light up when he had that fast break. I really hope he's okay, because it really looks like he is coming into his own as he sort of has reclaimed his position on this team in March.
Hey, I wanted to really quick, because we're about to wrap, and we're going to get to some other stuff about the tournament, and I got to save content for when I'm doing my podcast with Donald tomorrow. You don't get all the good stuff, Scott. But I did want to very quickly shout out two guys who, I mean, frankly, been a little maligned lately. People have been talking about our bench. I thought Sean Stewart and especially Ryan Young, absolutely outstanding in this game. By the way, did you notice the two guys who led Duke in rebounding were Sean Stewart and Ryan Young? They had 6 each. Leading
to be fair, we weren't missing all that many shots when the starters were out there. So
That's true. But I thought both those guys played with such tremendous effort. They were able to get in the way and create problems for James Madison. Sean Stewart had just a nasty, ugly, ridiculous dunk at one point, you know, showing off his athleticism. And Ryan Young,
which one? He had 2 nice lobs in the end of the second half there.
No, I was thinking of the one on the fast break with Mark Mitchell, where Mitchell tossed it up to him, and he brought it behind his head. That was sick. But I was going to say Ryan Young, I thought, had one of his better games in a Duke uniform. And, you know, his ability to fight and fight and fight and use his smarts and his, you know, experience. I mean, the two of them very much are opposite players. Like, Sean Stewart has all the athletic gifts and Ryan Young has all the experience and mental fortitude and understanding of the game. If you could put them into one body, you'd have the number one pick of the draft, I think. But I thought both those guys really, you know, the effort that Duke needs, they both brought for sure off the bench, which is great to see.
I love that you give Ryan Young his due. Going into this game, this felt like a Sean Stewart game rather than a Ryan Young game, given that James Madison had, you know, a bunch of 6'8", 6'9", athletic guys as opposed to a more traditional center. But yeah. Ryan came out and Ryan held his own. He did Ryan Young things. He made extra possessions. And he held his own defensively when he was put out on an island on some pick and rolls. And that's all we need him to do. And again, Ryan Young gives Duke 5 to 10 minutes of solid play with one or two impact plays getting us that extra possession. That's all Duke needs in March. And he did that in spades today.
Yeah. All right, look, we're going to – oh, actually, wait. Before we take a quick break, I wanted to mention we are getting so many – I've already looked. Like, literally, I've already got 30-plus headlines coming in. And I wanted to very quickly – I'm gonna take care of some of them now. That way I won't have to do.
Don't use all the good stuff now, Jason.
It is some great stuff already. Really good stuff. So first of all, I'm gonna tell everybody this. If you send me a headline that says JMU has been renamed Jared McCain University, that's not enough. I've already gotten 12 of those. So you gotta bring a little something extra, like Jason Wilkinson, who said JMU to be renamed Jared McCain University because he owns that school. I like that. Little extra twist there. And then Eric Bishop gave us this. JMU means Jared McCain Unstoppable. I like that one as well. Chris Immershine chimed in. He gave us Raising McCain, Duke Drills from Deep. Mark Esselstein gave us a good headline. McCain Reigns 3. Sorry, wait. I got to say this again. I didn't read it right. McCain Reigns 3-point pain on Duke's. Try and say that 5 times fast. And then Jared Strauss, I enjoy this. A little bit of history here. Get ready for it. Duke's Constitution leaves James Madison seeking amendments.
That sounds like a cut line from Hamilton or something.
You're right, it does. That's a good call. In any event, I thank those folks for their headlines. Folks, you can still, I'm going to give you another 24, not 24, let's say like 12 hours or so to get those headlines in, dbrpodcast@gmail.com. I cannot promise we will read all of them because we're not going to make the next episode 2 hours long. It would take at least an hour to read all the headlines. Scott and I are going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're just going to very quickly look at the bracket, look at some of the other things that have happened, you know, in this second round, who's impressed you the most, things like that. We'll have that in just a moment.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Scott, we're back from the break. And just very quickly, we're going to look at our brackets and such. By the way, how are you doing in the DBR poll, more in the ESPN bracket? Because I will tell you that my bracket is currently in the 93rd percentile on ESPN. 93.8% I am, which I'm pretty pleased with.
You've got me just beat. I'm 88.9. I'm pretty pleased. I have yet to lose an Elite Eight team, so I'm looking good in that, you know, points remaining category. But yeah, no, this is, I think Duke fans are probably all looking, you know, pretty decent in their brackets right now.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you. So who has been the most impressive? Let's set Duke aside, because I actually think objectively the most impressive win of any team in the second round so far. And we still got a couple games to be played. But the most impressive win is Duke taking out James Madison by nearly 40 points, a James Madison team that everyone and their brother thought was one of the real good sleepers in this tournament, and Duke wins by almost 40. Who do you, other than Duke, has been the most impressive so far?
I think the two most impressive teams are going to be playing each other in the Sweet 16. I think that's Purdue and Gonzaga. I think that everyone slept on Gonzaga because they, you know, didn't have a Gonzaga typical year, forgot that this was a team that was a top 10 preseason team. They have won both games by 20 plus points against team, you know, a McNeese team that was a trendy upset pick against a Kansas team that, you know, at least had Hunter Dickinson. They weren't the complete shell of themselves that they were in the Big 12 tournament. And then Purdue, someone has been hearing for a full year about losing as a 116, and they've come out and showed that. As impressive as our win today was, I actually have to think, I think Purdue might have been more impressive against Utah State. I think Purdue going up and beating Utah State by 39 in a game that was well over by halftime was impressive. You watch that game, I have never seen basketball players more demoralized than Utah State's bigs guarding Zach Edey. Now, again, this Purdue team, the switch could flip and they could get blown out, you know, as soon as next week, because Zach Edey is the type of player that if you come up with a game plan that takes him out or exploits him on defense, this Purdue team can get beat. But they are playing like a team that has heard all of this about Matt Painter in March for a full year, and they don't want to let that happen again.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I was going to say Gonzaga to me has been the most impressive team because of the way they dismantled Kansas, but it's worth mentioning that Kansas team, you know, is they're playing without their best player. And clearly their Kansas is not the team they were a few weeks ago. But still, I thought Gonzaga was very impressive. And obviously Purdue doing that to Utah State was very, very impressive. The other team that I sort of feel like has looked really good is Illinois, who's won both their games by, you know, easily by double digit margins. Took out Duquesne by 26. You know, again, Duquesne was one of those trendy 11 seeds that a lot of people were talking about as going, you know, as making a real run, and Illinois had no trouble with them at all. They're, you know, look, as much as we love the upsets and stuff, like I noticed yesterday, the only lower seeded team that won on Saturday was Gonzaga. They were actually a favorite in Vegas. It was a 5-4 game, and everyone sort of knew that they were better than Kansas. So literally, in terms of, you know, Vegas, in terms of the betting lines, every single favorite won on Saturday. And frankly, Sunday hasn't been all that much different. I haven't looked at all of them to really study it all out, but it looks to me like we've seen nothing but favorites win here. And we're not going to have many Cinderellas left. You know, NC State. I'm trying to think who else is going to be around in the Sweet 16 who might be.
Clemson's got 4 minutes. Clemson's up 6 with 4 minutes to go.
Yep.
They could beat Baylor, but it's interesting. You know, I forget what the statistic is, but almost never do all the top 8 seeds make it out of the first weekend. I think statistically 1-2 seed, you know, 9 times out of 10 is out by the Sweet 16. That hasn't happened yet. You know, for all of the great games, for all the upsets in the first round, there hasn't been that shoe to drop on a big upset in the second round. Clemson beating Baylor, you know, a 6 beating a 3 would be an upset.
Yeah.
You know, Texas A&M in Houston. I'm just saying, probability says if there's going to be an upset, it's got to come at 8:40 tonight on TNT. I'm not sure if we have an advertising deal with them. If I just gave them out some, you know, it's not like Turner needs our extra viewers, but statistically, there's one upset there's a big upset that's still on the board. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Easily take it. The Houston Cougars concern me quite a bit. They won their opening round game by 40 points. I know it was against the 16 seed, but 40 points is a lot of points. Houston is a really good team.
You know who we'll just see. Won a game by 38 points?
Huh? Yeah, it's true.
The Duke Blue Devils.
Exactly. There you go. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Again, I was not trying to do the full recap here. Just me and Scott coming on to celebrate a little bit, have a little bit of fun with the Blue Devils' absolute destruction of James Madison. Scott, thank you for making time for me, my friend.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Always, yes. We appreciate it. We enjoy it. Donald and I, like I said, will be back very, very soon. We'll be in your feeds to tell you the full breakdown of this game. Following that, we will have a preview of whoever it is Duke is playing in the Sweet 16. Frankly, gravy. As far as I'm concerned, gravy from here on. If you make the Sweet 16, it's never a season that you go, oh, that's really disappointing. It is hard to get here. It is a pleasure as fans to get to enjoy not just the first weekend, but beyond the second week of the NCAA tournament. I'm very much looking forward to see Duke play whoever we may play, because we look scary good at the moment. For Scott Rich, for the absent Donald Wine, I'm Jason Evans. Thanks for being with us on this DVR Bites episode. Here's the Duke band to play us out.